Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you've made time in your schedule to share these next few minutes with me. And because of the warfare that I'm sensing among many of those of you who are listening, the warfare that you're encountering, I just want to continue to give you some words of encouragement regarding our victory in Jesus, how to still be standing when everything seems to be falling down around you. Let me read now from Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 13. Last of all, this is Paul speaking, I want to remind you that your strength must come from the Lord's mighty power within you. Remember Christ in us, the hope of glory. He goes on to say, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand safe against all the strategies and tricks of Satan. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, whose mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. So, use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy whenever he attacks, and when it's all over, you will still be standing up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Beloved, a Christian has three choices in this warfare of life. It would be nice to say, well, you know what? I don't want to get involved with warfare. Well, like it or not, we are involved in warfare just by being alive on this earthly plane, in this earthly realm. If we are a Christian, beloved, like it or not, warfare is a part of our experience. But what does the scripture say? Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, trials. That's what James said. Have we come to that place that we can be so in faith, knowing that when we're going through a battle, that there's a purpose in it, and God is going to give victory, that we can praise God knowing that something good is going to come out of it. Is the trial pleasant? Of course not. We don't thank God for the trial, but through the trial we praise God. Hallelujah. So a Christian has three choices. God has given specific promises and abilities to the children of God, but multitudes of Christians are living so far below their rightful place of victory in Christ. It's like looking up at the natural sun from a deep well. You see a light, but it's really far off. I said a Christian has three choices. Well, first of all, you can just blame God and be filled with anger and terrible resentment towards God. Oh, I wouldn't say that. Well, Sister Glass, that's a, you know, how many, if you're really honest, at all of us, there's times we have anger toward the Lord. You know, I'll never forget, this was years ago, and one of the chief ways I can really relax and enjoy myself is to go camping. Now, Brother Glass he did not like camping. His version of camping was the Holiday Inn, but he went with me just because he loved me. All right, he had his old dad's van. I think it was a 79 Ford, and it was converted. So on our very first camping trip, we had our first puppy, our first dog, and we had a lot of work done. We got down. I'm speaking about my own experience, not about being mad at God. We worked really, really hard to get away just for a few days. We're talking, you know, this is a very inexpensive way to just have a little bit of recreation. Anyway, we set off, and I don't know what the problem was. We had some repair work done. When that's done, I guess you need to change the radiator. We were smoking like you know, an artichoke float. We barely made it into Monterey. We were heading down to Big Sur. Had to spend overnight in a motel with a puppy. Spent to have whatever work done. Then, praise God, we finally get to the campsite. We have a wonderful, you know, somewhat shaken, but we spend, you know, overnight. And then the very next morning, we thought, well, we'll go down to the beach. We no sooner pulled out of the driveway of the campground, and I don't know a thing about cars, but there was a terrible noise, and I knew it was not good. Well, the rear axle had gone out, and we and our, you know, few months old puppy had to be towed back to the San Jose area where one of our elders was able to work on the car. I didn't speak to the Lord for a couple of days. I was really upset. Why? Because, you know, Lord, can't we just have a few inexpensive, you know, how inexpensive can you be? And on his dad's old beat up van, I mean, we did the best. Anyway, the point is, we all at times, if we're honest, we get mad at the Lord. Or, in fact, you know, that reminds me, I'm just going to read this passage of scripture, and you can just meditate upon it. This is the King James Version. It's found in Proverbs, the 19th chapter. And if this doesn't apply to you, you might just want to jot down the reference, because it will apply to those you meet. That's for sure. We all have done this, or others have done it. It says, "The foolishness of a man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord." In other words, our own foolishness, our own stupidity, we make decisions, we do things, and then we blame God for it, basically. That's my translation, if you will, of that third verse, Proverbs 19:3. The foolishness of a man perverteth his own way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So we can put the blame on God, get angry, or we can be pitiful. We can shuffle around like a spiritual slave and carry all the burdens ourselves and feel pitiful and pathetic and stand alone. Or there's another option which I would like to present to you and recommend to you, and that is you can lay hold of the promises of God and do something about the situation or the circumstances that you find yourselves in. To see God's eternal plan of the ages, beloved, to see that clearly, to have an understanding of the position we have in God's heart, that we are children of God, we have to look back to the very beginning of creation to see the position God gave man then. And I'm talking about the book of Genesis, chapters 1 through 3. That was the position, the standing that man had in the beginning. We were to take dominion over the things of the earth, to subdue it, to multiply, and to flourish. And of course, that's something we've really done well. We certainly have multiplied, but we certainly haven't taken dominion over the earth. We committed high treason against God, disobeyed him, the one command given. And as a result, all mankind has suffered ever since the sin of our first parents. Man was created to be the partner of God, and he was created in the very image and likeness of God. When God created man, he was given all of his faculties and abilities completely in tune with God's perfect will. We have been given such a lofty, privileged position as ruler over all of God's creation. David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" Man was given a position which was second only to God himself. We, you know, we're not just animals, a higher form of animal with animal instincts. Man was given a brain and an ability and the freedom to make moral choices, or practical choices. Man was the epitome of God's creation. And we were given the faculties with which to make personal, willful choices. And we're living in a time in which modern man is loath to admit that there's even a devil. Whether mankind in part or whole denies the existence of Satan, beloved, he's very much alive, and he's working at feverish pitch to hinder and wear down the saints of God, as well as destroy the human race. He'd like nothing better than for the nations of the world to destroy themselves in nuclear war. He hates man. He wants to see him destroyed. He wants him to suffer the same fate that awaits him in the lake of fire. Satan was once the most beautiful angel in heaven. He was the covering angel, the one probably over the very throne of God, leading worship. But in his pride, he was perfect in beauty till the day that iniquity was found in him. He tried to exalt himself over the throne of God. He attempted to overthrow God. How smart is that, right? He was cast out of heaven. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." Now, in the natural realm, beloved, since we're all soldiers, we're in the army of the Lord, whether we really wanted to join or not, once we got saved, we're there. A soldier in the natural realm, a soldier of any country, fights the battle with the weapons his country provides and supplies him with. Isn't that true? His clothing, his weaponry. And so a Christian, in order to win the fight against the devil, we must fight with the weapons and armor provided by our commander-in-chief, Jesus. The heavier the battle, the more we are confronted with the attack of Satan, and the stronger we become in God. Paul said in Romans 8:2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We have Christ abiding in us, and if we abide in him and his words abide in us, we have supernatural strength to overcome the works of darkness. When we are in God's will, we know that every battle and every trial works for our good. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Now, we may not understand or see it right now, but many times in retrospect, as we look back on the events and concerns and the battles in our lives, we see that that scripture was indeed true. We may not have seen it at the time, but what does God require? That we should trust him. We should walk in faith, even when we can't understand with our natural mind. Job said, "Yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him." That should be our battle cry, beloved. Take heart, be encouraged. God is with you, and he's going to bring you through this season of trial and affliction. Praise God. Well, I'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I pray that you'll be able to join me. If at any time you're not able to hear the broadcast or want to re-listen or rehear it, go to our website, www.unveilchrist.org. Click on the broadcast. You can hear them anytime at your convenience. I love you. I invite you to write, share those prayer needs. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. Say, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.